The American dream has become a nightmare.
Okay, well, we're back here, and we've got Ken in New York here. We were talking about citizenship stuff, and it has always been. I've got back in the statutes, 1796, when England was stealing our sailors, they had to sign affidavits. I am a citizen of the United States of America. That is a, quote, traveling citizenship of naturalization that is strictly posited in the plenary, which means absolute power of Congress. And it used to always be done in courts of record in the several states. Today it's done in United States district courts.
So in this case here, the U.S. district court is spelled a capital U.S., and then the word district is a capital just for the D, and the rest of it is in lowercase.
Okay, well, what they did is, let me get back to this thing.
Okay.
Bring that issue up. We started off with the constitutional court called the District Court of the United States and the Circuit Court of Appeals in 1789. Up to and including 1911, the Circuit Court of the United States existed. They got around and abolished it for the Court of Appeals, which we have today. We have the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, all the way up to the 11th, and then we have the District of Columbia. Those courts, in 1911, you can go into the 1911 code, they said the judicial power of the Circuit Court of the United States, that's the proper terminology, is passed to the District Court of the United States. That happened in 1911. So now we no longer have a constitutional Circuit Court of Appeals. We have a Circuit Court of the United States. We have a Circuit Court of Appeals. That court is what exists today. And then up to including 1948, we had the District Court of the United States, which was a constitutional court. And in 1948, they changed its name to United States District Court. They did not repeal the District Court of the United States. And the Supreme Court of the United States, I don't have it handy, but there is a Supreme Court case that says we got two governments working here. So in 1948, they changed the name of the court to United States District Court. And that is codified today in 28 U.S.C. 132. Now, if you are familiar and do any constitutional law, arising under, you will see that a lot in legal stuff, arising under the Constitution of the United States, Article 3, Section 2. What does that mean? Arising under means it was created and established by the Constitution. And the judicial power of the United States is in Article 3, Sections 1 and Section 2. Okay? So that means we created an Article 3 court with constitutional powers, and it only exists because of the Constitution of the United States. Now, what these guys did, unfortunately, because we didn't know this, they overthrew our constitutional courts in 1948. They brought in a different type of court, and it's called the United States District Court. Now, this United States District Court is a killer, because it says here, this is in 28 U.S.C. 132, creation and composition of the district courts. They took the Territorial Court of Hawaii and all these other courts. They took the District Court of that's in the District of Columbia, which is totally different because there are no several states in the District of Columbia. They took the District Courts of the United States that are in the several states, and they put them all in the same chapter. So it's like taking, I'm going to take eagles, I'm going to take ospreys, I'm going to take doves, I'm going to take chickens. They're all birds, right? So I'm going to put them all in the same chapter, and I'm just going to call them birds. But wait a minute. Those birds are different, aren't they? They have different things that they do. They put them all in there. And here's what they, here's the BS words that they use. This is 28 U.S.C. 132. Except as otherwise provided by law, which is a definition that's out of the Attorney General's thing of 1947, still used, which it means anything that exists, basically, without going back to that, or rule or order, the judicial power of a district court. Judicial power of a district court. Can that be the same as the Constitution, which says judicial power of the United States? Of course not. And with respect go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Finish.
And with respect to any action or suit proceeding may be exercised by a single judge. So we got a court that has judicial power. So you walk in there, the judicial power of the court by a single judge, who may preside alone and hold a regular or special session of the court at any time. That is totally in opposition, because Article 3 of the Constitution says judicial power of the United States, and that power comes arising under that Constitution called the Constitution of the United States. And within the several states, the federal is limited, a very limited jurisdiction.
And they use the word of now. Is there any significance on her name? Her first name is spelled with a cap in lowercase, but the last name is all caps. And the under the bottom.
Okay, there is a reason for all that. All this all caps nonsense.
Okay,
it is true.
Okay.
The problem is, if you go look up proper name and all of that, it's upper and lower case. And you have to have all of your name. And they have taken this. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'll finish with this. Under the bottom on her signature, it says under. Where she signed it, it says complete and true signature of holder.
Okay, what do you want to start? When you start looking at stuff like this, you got to get real careful. What's a holder?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what a holder is? It's in commercial law. Do you know Alaska put in, by declaration upheld by the Supreme Court of Alaska, they said the uniform commercial code is the supreme law in Alaska. Supreme Court said that. And how'd we get it? They just declared it. The legislature declared it.
It's
a complete overthrow of our republic. Because the whole key of this, everything, and this is why I have found that I use their naturalization documents. You haven't seen one like was it your mother or your grandmother had?
It was my grandmother.
Okay. Email me at Ralph. Or better yet, IRS@AlaskaMinuteman.com. IRS@AlaskaMinuteman.com. I will send you one. Most people have never seen one. Why would they? Because people are scared to have them out there. These come from the Department of Corruption called the Department of Justice. They got nice, beautiful copies with everything there, the pictures and all the stuff is there. Thank you, Department of Justice, which maybe when this four-page memo come out, we may have some people going in orange suits to the pokey. I hope.
All right. Thank you for your time. Good night.
You betcha. Absolutely. Anybody that's seen The Matrix, it is so true. It's a shocking thing to say. I don't even what to say anymore. Because basically everything I was taught was a lie. And what amazing, the truth is out there. It is. I have Westlaw, and without Westlaw, I wouldn't even do what I do. I can search in probably 10 to 15 seconds, and I can teach somebody how to do it. But if you really want to get into discovering the real truth of our world, I would suggest that several of you get together and get a Westlaw account. I can tell you, I can tell you how to do word searches in 5 minutes. I can't tell you how to read it. That takes work on your part. But I can tell you how to make Westlaw give you information that will shock you to the core. I can search all the law libraries, all the statutes, all law. It's a Federal Register. It's just the information is it's mind-boggling, and the truth is shocking. And it's just like Neo in the Matrix. It makes people sick. And the purpose that I started out on this thing with the Bank of America, this person is not able, did not want to fight this Bank of America because they have a belief system that they owe the money. They don't. They've been conned. But people can't handle the truth. And it doesn't make them bad, but we have not been taught the truth. How would we know the truth? I want to get into, since how we got into this, the Jewish Sitar, but let me get into this thing about this, tell you about this commercial security agreement. I had zero idea. I had found out that till you get the original document back, nothing changed. And this banker brought up, says, well, didn't you read this part down here about if we feel insecure, we can do everything due and payable? It says here, let's see, let me read the actual part here where it says that. I couldn't believe it. It says, insecurity, lender, that was KeyBank, in good faith, deems itself insecure. And what did I do? I just asked for the original document, and I pissed the bank off. They weren't going to have this out. So what did they do? They took me to a kangaroo court, superior court for the state of Alaska. Yep. And what I had done prior to that, on a handshake, I had somebody that gave me $110,000 in cash. I went down to Northrim Bank. I got the cash, a whole stack of it, which I carried in a little, you can carry it in your hands. It took them about 2 hours to get it because they don't have a lot of cash on hand. I got it. I went down and I met with the banker. And I said, okay, here's the stuff. I want my original documents. Well, I said, we don't have them. Well, who's got them? Well, we'll send you a copy. I said, no, I am going to give you $110,000 in cash when I get my original documents back, which that would cleared up every loan on all the vans and my pickup and the line of credit. So what did I do? They went to court. They took me to the Superior Court for the state of Alaska in the 3rd Judicial District, which was made up by the bar in 1974. The 3rd District was the constitutional side. The 3rd Judicial District came along by a bar rule. And the judge said, well, if you give them the money, they'll have the original. And something happened in less than, say, 10 seconds. Because he said, well, you bring the money in here. I should, if I had a foresight to brought the cash in, said, right then, I have the cash. I want the stuff right now. I'd have had them. But that judge said, well, we'll come in here and we'll bring the cash. And something happened. Probably I've seen this high sign about the Mason type stuff. I don't know what happened. Oh, no, wait a minute. Wait. We aren't going to do this here. You have to go to KeyBank and do the transaction there. The court did not have jurisdiction. I couldn't be in that venue to make this happen. So we set up a time, and I went down and met with this banker, and I brought in $110,000 in cash. I said, where's my original documents? Well, I got them here. That'd take a month. We had to put this out a month. So I go down and meet him, and he said, I can't take cash. I says, well, I'm offering you cash one time. Now, this is the second time. I said, I'm going to offer you one more time, and I'm walking out the door. He says, why don't you just go over and get a cashier's check? He said, I can't take cash. And what I think was going on, I will never know for sure, is they can't take debt instrument cash to pay off what's going on in their world. I don't know the real answer to that. I never figured it out, but he took it the second time, but I'm telling you, these guys, they look at that money and they actually salivate out there. There's saliva coming outside your mouth. These guys are greedy. And he took the cash and I got the original documents. Every one of them had staple marks, 7 staple marks. There's other stuff that had been stapled, but they all had 7 for some reason. But I got back these commercial security agreements. And I come within a hair's breadth because a commercial security agreement, I had no idea what I was signing up for. They take everything except your shorts. If you read those things, which I never read that stuff. I never did. I don't know. I figured they were honest and I'm being honest and they're letting me money. They could take my checking account. Everything was theirs. Everything I owned, regardless of the amount of the debt. I lost it all. And I came within Providence was looking over me somehow. I don't know how I got out of that one. Have you ever had anybody walk up and be able to give you $110,000 on a handshake? No. These people came out of a retirement. And they ended up in trouble with the IRS, both of them, man and wife. Name was Gene Warner and his wife, Kehlani. When they got out of jail, I gave them a job in my office. They had to have a job. I paid them, I don't remember, minimum wage, $10 an hour for both of them. All they had to do was sit there and do nothing. And I paid back every nickel with no interest, but I gave them a job for, I don't know, a year, year and a half, however long that was. That was the, quote, what should we saw the, if you want to call it interest, that was the benefit to them, so they'd be out of jail. I've done all this. And I came in the company, it was Winter Telecom, Inc., and then I went to Winter Telecom. I've been there and done all these things. I had no idea what a Jewish shatar was. I never heard of him. And, of course, in the process, I did. And I'm going to read a little bit about that because I was going to talk about more about the credit card, but it ties into this because mortgages, if you go look, just like on this commercial security agreement, they don't sign anything. I signed up. And like the gentleman that I was talking to before, we do not know the law because they don't teach us. How would we know? He was talking about the meetings of the minds. They're called express contracts. I sign, you sign. There's called an attorney in fact or an attorney or an implied in law contracts. I sign, but there is a benefit on both sides and they pass as express contracts. What's an example of one? You think you own your car? Absolutely not. I went to Wasilla Chevrolet, because I'd fought this for years. I mean, years. And I went to jail, and oh, God, it's a long story there. But I couldn't figure out, because I found in the Anchorage ordinances that cops, you can go online, go to the Municipality of Anchorage or Anchorage Municipal Corporation, go to Title IX, you will find down there that the cops can only write tickets for government-owned or government-driven vehicles. That's the ordinance. So I fought that for years. I had no understanding, and it was so darn simple. It just really irritates me because I spent thousands of dollars in jail, leaving my car, my pickup down there for 6 months, and they wouldn't sell it because I had taken back the registration and the title and given it back. They couldn't sell it, but I didn't understand what was going on. What's the game? You can prove this yourself. Just go down to your dealer, or I can send it to you. There is called an attorney in fact, which is an implied in law contract. It is the same as an express contract. I am giving you money and I'm getting back a tag and registration, so therefore it qualifies. And when you do that, it says on it, I am giving up all right, title, and interest. Every brand new car, by some means, all right, title, and interest is given up by your signature before you ever drive it off of the lot. I never read any of that stuff. I don't know anybody that does. I couldn't understand it back then anyway. When I got my 1967 Corvette, I had my tongue hanging out on the ground. Come back in a minute. Nobody of it is worth.
To get excited. know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Okay, well, we're back here, and this is Ralph Kermit Winroad II. I'm sitting in for John Stottmiller. We talk about the Jewish shatar. This is your mortgage. This is your credit card. I just can't make this stuff up. I mean, I don't know what to say anymore. This is a case, and it's 71 GEO Law, it's the Law Journal of 1983. If you haven't seen this, just send me an email at Ralph, or actually better, IRS at AlaskaMinuteman.com, and I'll send you the document. Believe nothing anybody tells you. This is the Jews. This is out of this research done. The Jews, whom the Normans brought to England in their turn, contributed to the changing of the English society. The Jews brought a refined system of commercial law, their own form of commerce and system of rules to facilitate it and govern it. Notable among these is the written agreement called a shatar. It's spelled S-H-E-T-A-R or star, S-T-A-R-R, as it appears in English documents. The basis of the shatar or Jewish gauge, G-A-G-E, was a lien on all property, including realty, that has been traced as a source of the modern mortgage. There's your mortgage right there. You loan yours. You take their credit, your signature. They take their credit, sell it to another bank. Next thing you know, they turn that into money, and you're paying somebody else to pay off the, quote, mortgage. And they just turn their credit, your signature, into money. Under Jewish law, the shatar was permitted to a creditor to proceed against all goods and land of the defaulting debtor. In contrast, the obligation of night service under the Anglo-Norman law barred a land transfer that would be imposed, would have imposed a new tenant, and therefore a different night owing service upon the Lord. And it forbade the attachment of land in a satisfaction of debt. This was a weapon of social economic change that tore the fabric of the feudal society and established the power of liquid wealth in a place of land holding. The Crusades of the 12th century opened an era of change in feudal law to obtain funds from Jews. Nobles offered their land as collateral. The Jews in Norman England had a specified legal status. They alone lent money at interest. They were owned by the king, and their property was his property. The king suffered their presence only so long as they served his interest, primarily as a source of liquid capital. The Jews operated within the framework of their own legal practice, which was based on the Talmudic law, developed over the centuries of study. The Talmudic law of the Jews is based on what the rabbi says. It has nothing to do with the five books of the Bible, even though they have that out. You'll want to see Marching to Zion. Marching to Zion. Go watch that. That is an eye-opener. What we think we know is not so. Reading further. The law of the shatar developed and elaborated by 500 AD in the Babylonian Talmud. This is what the Jews use today. Annotates the Norman conquest by six centuries. At the moment that a debtor acknowledged his indebtedness through a shatar, a general lien was established encumbering all of the debtor's property as security for the ultimate repayment. Because of the severe obligations imposed by the shatar, the contents of the instrument followed a standard form designed to ensure authenticity and proceedings and precision. Here's the killer. The crucial limitation on debt collection of the Jewish law was the creditor who had a lien against the debtor's land and not against the debtor's person. Can you believe this? It's called NREM in our world today. And what they had, this thing that I signed up for, they would have taken my checking account, my business account, they would have taken all the vehicles, all my land, everything. Even though I hadn't pledged it. I just didn't read that thing. I had no idea what I was getting into. And I escaped by the skin of my teeth. It's just, you can't make this stuff up. This is, I don't know what to say anymore. Jews cannot have anything of his own because whatever he acquires not for himself but for the king. Because they do not live for themselves but for others, and so they acquire for others and not for themselves. They lived where the king permitted. When they died, their property vested in the king. Because the ecclesiastical courts could proceed only against Christians, the Jews operated free from the church's usury prohibitions. The civil authorities openly permitted the Jews to lend money and interest and enforce their credit card contracts, both for principal and interest. As the Jews prospered, the king did too, extracting from them the fruits of their monopoly on usury. This is why the king got around and put them in there. Well, we're going to break. Back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Okay, well, we're back here. This is Rob Witterow II. I'm sitting in for John Stattmiller. And people aren't going to be able to follow all I'm talking about. We have to start somewhere, though. But I have documents. I have an IRS list for $250 postal money order. And I send out all kinds of documents. There's all sorts of things available. Would you sign up? I have ruling case law, 1928, the precursor to Amger 1, 50, 60 volumes. You have to have Skype, or if you want to get around and send me a little money, I can make out of DVDs. I have books available that most people have never seen that are in very limited existence today to prove what I'm talking about. I've been doing this for 17 years full time, and for before that. And if you can't afford it, you send me an email at irs@alaskaminuteman.com and just say, I can't afford it. Give me a reason. I don't check it out, and I will add you to the list. And if you have Skype, I will give you all kinds of information. If you want to do research, it's all free. I don't pretend to copyright it or anything. I want it out there. My people die for a lack of knowledge, Jose. We need to have the real stuff. We're in the matrix. We are enslaving ourselves by a lack of knowledge. Believe nothing, believe no one. Read the stuff, do some critical thinking. I'm always available for answer questions. Excuse me, questions. 907-355-8304, 907-355-8304. I try to answer all questions. to get people, you know, spend time to get them. Sometimes just a simple minute or two will get a question so you can move on to the next issue. Because the stuff that I'm doing, I don't know how many people are doing it, probably very few, because my Westlaw costs $358 a month. Who's going to pay that? I have about $100,000 of books that I bought when I had money, Winter Telecom, and I am gradually scanning them, OCRing them in a PDF, and providing them to the people that want them, if you're on the list. I want to get a homepage going, but I've got too many balls in the air, too many lawsuits, but it will happen. But this stuff is just shocking. It's like what we're going to see, I think, in this four-page memo. Probably Trump won't bring it out tonight. I wish he would on the State of the Union. But the world, the principalities of evil are alive and well. A third of the angels came down, and they came down with Lucifer, which is now known as Satan or the devil. And he is a father of all liars. And the liars are just unbelievable. I don't know what to say anymore. It shocks the conscience. Just like I was talking to the earlier person there from Kentucky. The courts. It says here, it's supposed to arise under Article 3. This is the reviser's notes of Title 28, 1932, Section 132. Subsection C, where it says judicial power of the district court. Where did that come from? It didn't come from the Constitution. It says here, is derived from 641 of Title 48 U.S.C. 1940, which is applied only to the territory of Alaska. A territorial court, we ain't got one darn thing to do with the courts in the several states. The revised section, by extending it to all districts, merely recognized established practice? I kid you not. And revisers notes stand as not the issue. They took the territorial court of Alaska and put it into United States district courts. That's black and white. They admit it. Now, how many people is going to see this? It actually is in the revisers notes under 28 U.S.C. 132 on the internet, probably. I have a book of this. There are, you can count on your hands a number of books on Title 28, which was the judiciary, and Title 18, which is the criminal stuff. There are very few left in the world. I have them backed up all over the place. If they come and raid me, not going to do them any good. I will get my stuff back. It's free to you if you want to join the IRS list to read. So you actually have evidence. If you're going to talk or form groups, hopefully, get some facts, real things you can prove, because what we think we know is not so. And it's a scary proposition, just like Neo in the Matrix. He got sick. He couldn't handle it. Anyway, back to this credit card thing. So I went back and I looked up the Bank of America in the corporate section of Alaska, and it says, oh, you got to have Inc. after. So Bank of America can't even do business under a foreign corporation in Alaska without Inc. after it. So they changed it to Bank of America, comma, National Association, comma, Inc. Yet this court case that this person doesn't want to proceed forward because they're for many reasons, they can't live in this world. It doesn't say that. It only says Bank of America, comma, N.A. So I've tried calling up the commercial side of, I tried them again today, and I can't get anybody to, when I get an answer, they put me on hold, say I got to talk to somebody else, I'm on hold for 3 or 4 minutes, and then I get a voicemail. Nobody wants to answer the questions. These are critical. And a credit card is an implied in-law contract. A Form 1040 is an implied in-law contract. Well, what does that mean? An implied in-law says, I want a benefit the other side does not sign up. There is no meeting of the minds. It's called an implied in-law. I want a benefit. Congress only legislates for citizens of the United States today. You can't do anything in this country without being a citizen of the United States. There is no elective franchise under the 15th Amendment for a citizen of the United States. There is no right of suffrage under the 15th. Cruikshank and Slaughterhouse said so. Why are we doing it? And I think I'm going to start reading this thing because this plays into this because there's so much more to this. This 14th Amendment is a crock. It's an illusion. You are not a 14th Amendment citizen. You have to keep signing up for it. I have a driver's license as a citizen of Alaska. I challenged them over. I changed it right in front of them. They wouldn't do a thing. You have to get your status correct into the public record and enter evidence rule 901 number 7. It becomes self-authenticating. I am a citizen of Alaska. And they can't prove otherwise. 18 U.S.C. 1911, if they want to call me a citizen of the United States, that's a felony. Prove it. Your evidence, please. You have to get your status right. I took that off with the naturalization documents and added stuff. I'm modifying it to put in the Buck Act and this other nonsense because the federal income tax is only on the profits and stuff under corporation. It does not have anything to do with you or me. It does not have anything to do with Title 26. Income tax has come out of the Social Security Act, which was not an income tax. They call it that. They call the employers, it's an excise tax. And they call us, for the privilege of working for the employer, for, quote, a benefit of having a retirement, and they call it all income tax. Not one thing to do with the federal income tax. I was shocked when I found that out. I've got that in legislative history. I'm working on the module on that. Title 26 is a ruse. You're not going to win with it. The only people able to withhold any tax in Title 26 is very clear. That's the only constitutional side in that. It's 26 U.S.C. 7701A16. 7701A16. Go look it up. It's all subtitle A. It says 1441. That's a subtitle A. That's non-resident aliens. It says 1442. That's non. That's a foreign corporation. 1443 is a subtitle A, which is strictly a foreign organization. And 1461 is a hold harmless. If you withhold, and I'm not a citizen of the United States, you can sue those people. It's right there. The Buck Act is where all the action is, which I don't have time to explain all that, but if you want to care more on that, tune into my show on Sunday between 5 and 7 p.m. Central. It's an illusion. We're in the Matrix, but people can't handle the truth. And I wonder why. Why would we not be able to handle the truth? Because we have been taught so many lies, and it's really difficult to actually check out all the facts. And I'm going to close out today's thing here. I'm going to find a 1938. This is a 1938 congressional record, and it was based on the Cruikshank and the Slaughterhouse cases and much more. And it's just, it's shocking, but people won't believe it. I don't know what to say. This is done in 1938, January 13th. And this particular congressional report come out of 1887, and it's based on about 15 Supreme Court cases. And here is, well, I'm going to read this. I'm going to blow it up so I can read it here. You won't ever find this out there in the open. Wonder why that is. Like I say, you just cannot make this stuff up. It's shocking. Now, this was about Negroes, and they were trying to, they were hanging Negroes, and they wanted to make it a federal crime, and they couldn't. This case was followed by many others in which the principles announced in the slaughterhouse cases were followed to their logical conclusion in the strict accord with the terms of these amendments. You're talking about 13th, 14th, and 15th. So far as the present argument is concerned, it is only necessary to say that the power conferred on the federal government by these amendments was held to be only the power to enforce prohibitions on state actions. Prohibitions contained in them, not an affirmative thing. These amendments, as far as they relate to the questions now involved, consist wholly of negations, prohibitions always on state action and sometimes federal action. The language of the 14th is, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges and immunities of the citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. That's the 14th, we think. Nor deny any person within its jurisdiction equal protection of the law. The 15th, this is about voting, ordains as follows. The right of the citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous thing of servitude. Isn't that amazing? It is now firmly settled. That means it's precedent, it's ruling case law, it's done deal. That the provisions are directed solely against state laws and state actions through persons or agents clothed with state authority. Then we're talking about a citizen of the United States now. It is also settled that the power conferred on Congress, not on the states, to enforce these provisions is a power only to enforce the prohibition against state action. That the rights conferred on persons under them are not positive original rights. They're not inalienable rights, but the right only to exemption from and the protection against prohibited state action. So it's like the government, U.S. government or the government of the United States is sitting up there with Congress and saying, now you be good boys down here. There's no thing about any race, color, religion, none of that stuff. And the power of Congress to interfere in any case is purely a power of correction. A power to give redress against prohibited state action, that the actual exercise of efficient power by Congress under these amendments presupposes state action of the kind prohibited. And until there be such prohibited action, the power of Congress is wholly dormant. Without any such action really being taken somewhere or at some time, the power of Congress would sleep forever. There's your citizen of the United States, 13, 14, and 15. You think we got a problem here? In no case under these amendments, so far as the present controversy is concerned, can the power of Congress be made to reach either for the punishment or correction or redress in any way, civil or criminal, the acts of private individuals. On this last point, the controversy has long been between sectional majority of Congress and the Constitution, but in the end, the Constitution triumphed completely. It would be interesting to trace the progress of the decisions of the court from the first to the last case involving in all this. And on this ground, the Supreme Court in that case held, they're talking about Cruikshank, the United States has no power to punish a conspiracy to commit murder or falsely imprison a citizen, and none to punish false imprisonment or murder itself. This was decided in logical outcome of the principles announced in the slaughterhouse and many others. They can't even prosecute murder. You know why? They have no venue, no jurisdiction. How do they get away with it? Because we have agreed, you and me, we do not want to exercise our elective franchise as a citizen of Kentucky or a citizen of New York or a citizen of Florida or a citizen of Texas. We want to be a citizen of the United States. That's why before jeopardy attaches, when a jury, like in a federal case, the judge will always ask on the record, is there anybody here not a citizen of the United States? You have to agree to surrender your inalienable rights of the Creator in the Declaration of Independence and under common law and under law of nature to the principalities of evils of man's law, of which the devil is a liar. He is a father of all lies. You have to supposedly knowingly agree to it. And you can object to that. Why does nobody do it? Because nobody knows. They don't know how to object to it. How would they know? I've been in it. I actually had a jury. I didn't object. I took on a cop that whopped up on me. Back in a minute.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out at school? That's what they said.
Well, I think we're back here. This is Ralph Winterode. Ralph from Winter Road II. I'm sitting in for John today, and I didn't get through even where I wanted, but the whole thing is citizen of the United States. Five words. And everybody thinks they are, and they have no clue what it is. And people will fight for it, they will argue for it, and they have no idea. Been there and done it myself. This is how I used to get charged with all these misdemeanors for not having a tag, a license, and all this other. I get the juror get there, and they all swear that I'm a citizen of the United States. It's great, okay, and what is it? Nobody knew. I said, well, I got a jury here that don't have a clue. Next thing you know, we would have court would dismiss for a minute, go out and talk to the prosecutor, and next thing you know, the charges went away. I didn't totally understand it then, but I knew I wasn't one because I couldn't understand what it was. How would I claim that I am what I am if I don't know what I am? Each and every one of us is a citizen. Go look at Esau in the Bible. Esau. He sold his birthright for some porridge and some lentil beans. He lost property and his lineage. Didn't work out good for him. This is what they have to keep doing to you and me. We have to keep signing up. Everything you do requires a citizen of the United States at some point. Everything Congress is legislating is only for citizens of the United States. These states now are legislating for a citizen of the United States to vote, and a vote is the act. The elective franchise and suffrage is only for a citizen of the several states. That's Crookshank, Slaughterhouse. Nothing's changed. 14th didn't change a thing. It's a lie. But boy, has it been proffered to screw us up. Been there and done it, and I've been in it. I'm trying to exit myself out of Babylon. We are in Babylon or Sodom and Gomorrah. We're never going to get totally out of it. We're not until the sun comes back. Not going to happen. But we still can exit ourselves out and fight the fight and clean out some of the deep swamp. Because I'm telling you, it is all over. It is from every one of these, quote, several states, so they call them other states today, to what we call the federal government. There is no authority for what's called a federal income tax. It's an illusion. Income tax is not a federal income tax. That is another illusion. I was shocked when I found that out because I thought I knew what I was talking about. I was clueless. You just couldn't make this stuff up. I don't know what to tell you. It's shocking. But the truth shall set us free. Go read John 8, I think it is John 8, 34 to 44. John 8, 34 to 44. So, the truth, it's just, you just can't make this stuff up, like I say. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the show, and God willing, I will see you next Sunday. Take care.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones. Please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.